So, identity. Can you hear me? I feel like I'm on a commercial. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right. So, identity. We all have one, of course. We all have those nice cards in our pockets that let us into the hospital. And it all tells us who we are. We have, some of us have credit cards, some of us don't. You'll get one eventually, I'm sure. And I came up with this topic, identity theft, a couple weeks ago. But, you know, God has a sense of humor. 1 week ago, it actually happened to me. I'm looking at my credit card statement, and I'm like, okay, wait a second. That's not supposed to be on there. Did you do this? Kind of like, you know, giving my husband the evil eye. Would you do? Did you do this? No, I didn't do it. Who did it? So we called the credit card company, and they had no idea what was going on. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this is actually happening to me. Okay, what did the commercials say to do? I've got to call the – no, I can't call the police. It's kind of silly. So, you know, who is this person who's charging my credit card? What else do they have? How did they get my number? Are they going to charge my other accounts too? I'm don't make that much money. They really can't charge that much more. You know, are they going to steal my accounts? Are they going to steal my life? Am I going to go to jail? Like, what are these people going to do with my identity? And, you know, as girls, we have a tendency to, you know, here's the boundary and we cross it a lot because we overreact sometimes. And that's okay because we're girls. But our identity gets stolen all the time. And not necessarily some creepy person behind you looking at your numbers or trying to take your credit card picture with their cell phones, but our identity gets stolen by definitions. A lot of times we define things, and that's how we understand them. If you're reading a book and you come across a word you don't know, what do? Either ask your teacher, ask your mom, ask your parents, guardians, friends, what's this word mean? That way you can continue on with the book. You can understand the book if you know that one word's definition. And that one word, when you find the definition, can change the meaning of the sentence for you. You think it means one thing, but you look up the definition, and it means completely something else. Okay? So where do we look for definitions? We look in the dictionary. We look on Wikipedia. We look on www.dictionary.com. And if we don't like what that one has to say, we go to another dictionary. And if we don't like that one has to say, we go to the thesaurus. And if we don't like that one, what that one has to say, we just kind of make up our own definition, right? But we shouldn't. We should try to find what the true definition is. Now, I'm not going to go and ask you to look for the Latin origin of this word or the Greek origin of this word. This isn't a national competition or a spelling bee. But I really want you to think about where you get your definitions. And that's where I came up with these cards. They're little because I want you to stick them in your hip wallet or your pocket. At least you don't have those funky little fanny packs like I had to wear when I was a kid that made my tummy stick out that much more. And it was cool, right? Walking around. But the point of the matter is I want you to keep them. Just don't throw them away. You know, just at least not tonight, okay? So look at it. It says daughter of the king. And I'm going to ask you to volunteer. If you don't feel comfortable volunteering, that's fine. If you want to share, share. And if you don't, well, the wise listen. Okay, so you do what you feel comfortable with. So if somebody can read beauty for me, I'd really appreciate it. If you can take those tiny little words and make them come alive. Yeah. Well said. So what is the world's definition of beauty? Tanned? Skinny? Makeup? Blonde? Yeah, that's right. Redhead, I like that definition. Okay, what else is the world's definition of beauty? Does it mean you have to be all the time beautiful when you wake up, when you go to sleep? Lots of money, for sure. Yeah, some people think that you have to look young, so by the time they're 70 or 80, their lips look like that. Yeah, their eyes look a little funny, so their definition of beauty is changing their life. We might think they're going to look a little funny, but they think that's their definition of beauty. They think beauty is defined by the media. And unfortunately, ladies, the media defines beauty as something that's completely what it's not. And we all know this. You're smart. You know that those girls are most of the way airbrushed. By the way, if you've ever seen that little YouTube video of the model, and she looks like us, and then they like, with the little airbrush photoshopping going on, and they suck in the picture. That's what their definition of beauty is, and I think it's pretty sad that they think they have to make up. My husband always hates it when I say, oh, I've got to put my makeup on. I've got to put my makeup on. I'm going to scare my students. And they're like, what are you making up for? He says, you don't have to make up for anything. Aw, moment. Because that's what makeup is. You know, it's nice to, makeup is nice, or else I couldn't see my eyelashes if I didn't have mascara on because they're so blonde. People ask me, are you sick? You know? So I can see the goodness in makeup, but if you think that makeup makes you beautiful, then you're wearing it for the completely wrong reason. Because you don't have to make up for anything. There is nothing that you have to make up for, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So look at that definition of beauty and think about it. When the next guy comes along, or the next media, like magazine or video comes along, think about what they're trying to tell you. And think about your life. What am I basing my beauty on? Am I basing it on what they have to say? Am I letting them steal my identity? Because if you let them tell you what beauty is, you're going to go down the wrong path. Let's go to success. Can somebody read success for me, please? Yeah, thank you very much. So success, what does the world say is successful? What is the world's definition of success? Rich, money, famous, for sure, big house, nice cars, nice clothes, awards, yeah. Lots of friends, as many Facebook friends as you can make. Like, I don't even know who you are, but I'm going to add you to my Facebook so I look cool. What? It's true, eh? I go to these people who have like 5,000 people on their Facebook, and I'm thinking, you don't even know who those people are. You're like, really? Are you going to remember their birthdays? You have to be responsible for your Facebook friends. That's the world's definition of success, you know? And in Louisiana, your success when you got through the day was to make sure your hair was in a ponytail and it wasn't, you know, attacking anybody, because Louisiana is very humid. And your hair grows in the humidity, so it looks like this, and things get lost in it. And so that's the beauty in Louisiana. And then the definition of success was that you were pretty, you were skinny, you had well manners, you were able to make straight A's, play on every single team, and you still had lots of friends. Okay, let me tell you, who can look perfect all the time, who can have straight A's, and who can play on like 5 different teams and still have time to hang out with friends? Like, some people can do it, but I wasn't one of those people. Like, one thing at a time, you know. I can do the church thing, and I can do the swim team thing, but if you keep adding everything in, I'm just going to go a little bananas. Okay? Success doesn't mean do as many things or as many clubs as you can and have as many Facebook friends as you can. What is success? What truly is success? What does God say success is? It means just walk with God. Just follow him. That's all we have to do to be successful in life. But we make it so hard on ourselves as girls. We think we have to be perfect and the best friend to everybody and help everybody and do everything. But ladies, we can't. We're not perfect, right? We can only do the best that we can. And we can only walk with God. And when I say only walk with God, it's not only, but that's all we have to do. We make it so hard on ourselves. Right? Wisdom. Can somebody read wisdom for me? Yeah, go ahead. So true. What does the world say is wisdom? Okay, come on, Yoda people. I know you watch Star Wars, sci-fi fans. I know you do. I see it in your eyes. You're like, I'm not going to admit it. I love Yoda. We think Yoda's cool, even though he talks completely backwards, right? He does. Okay, what else is, what are the kind of people that are touted as wise in the commercials or in our news? Dennis, Oprah. Woo! She listens, but she talks too, right? So who else is touted as wisdom? Who else is said to be wise in our media? Dr. Phil? Jesus. Strengths? Yeah. What else? Maury. All the talk show hosts, right? Yeah. Why are they wise? They listen. That's for sure. Yeah, Chuck Norris is pretty awesome. I don't think he had a roundhouse kick and created the world, though. But he is a Christian. And it's pretty cool to know that Chuck Norris is a Christian. Yeah, he has a website. And on his website, he's like, yeah, God is good. And all those things are funny, but God is the one that created the world. So I love that God is given the glory by Chuck Norris, who everybody considers awesome, because Chuck Norris considers God as the most awesome. So it's funny that the talk show hosts come up as wise, because what do talk show hosts do? He said, listen and help. And those are the most wise people that we can go to, because there's a difference between smart and wise. Have you ever met somebody who talks a lot? Not me, because I'm speaking today. I'm supposed to talk a lot. Okay. But somebody who talks a lot but doesn't really know what they're saying? Yeah, sometimes we do it. We're all guilty of it. But I feel like I had to talk a lot, and because down south, if you meet somebody and you're like, hi, and you don't say hi back, they're like, oh, that was so rude. You know, because it's manners. You have to have manners, and you have to know what to say, and you have to talk. But all that pressure was on my shoulders, and I used to be the kids minister down there. And I mean, the first couple of years I was kids minister, like, hi, here's your child. Did great. And they wanted me to say more, and they thought I was rude because I didn't say any more. But they just really wanted to get to know what I was talking about with their kids and stuff. They weren't expecting me to be this perfect person, but that was my perception. That's what I thought they wanted me to do. But really, they just wanted to get to know me more. They wanted to listen to what I had to say because I'm the one teaching their kids, right? So my husband is one of those people who only speaks when he has something to say. I really need to take a lesson from him because he listens so much. He's able to learn a lot about how people act and who they are. He observes their movements before he says something. Because he feels like if he says something before, he thinks it's going to sound stupid. Well, sometimes that happens. We talk before we think, and it comes out wrong, and then we have foot and mouth disease, right? Okay, so the world's definition of wisdom is talk a lot and help a lot of people. But true wisdom is just listening and trying your best to help that person. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't need people to act a certain way. Because when we're in a crisis, as a female, I need them to be nice today. Or my husband, Jason, I need you to do this today. When really, I don't need him to do that. That's what I feel like I need him to do. I don't need that. If we feel like we need our parents to react a certain way, or we feel like we need our friends to react a certain way or be a certain way, that's wrong. We don't need them to do that. And I'm going to go further into that in a minute. Can somebody read love for me? Go ahead. Amen. What does society say love is? What does society say love is? Sex? Yep. It's okay. Yep. That's so true. Good. You had your hand raised, I think. Okay, and you too? You had your hand raised? Oh, sorry. Anybody else? Applied feeling, yeah. Affection, like in that, there's one of those movies where her foot popped. What movie was that? Princess Diaries, yeah. Her foot popped, and that was true love. Yeah. Yeah, they think it is, huh? Yeah, perfectmatch.com or howtoliveyourlife.org, eHarmony, yeah. Kind of scary. It is kind of scary. You're right. I'm glad you brought that up. It's so true. Ladies are pretty smart. But, we know all these things, but as ladies, even though we know it, and you girls do, we don't act on it. You ever taken those quizzes online? And I know you have. Those quizzes with the, what kind of personality do you have? Or, what kind of car are you driving? Or, who are you going to marry? You know, like, or what kind of career are you going to have? Or, you know, like, what kind of clothes? What do your clothes say about you? What does your handwriting say about you? And, you know, I'm being corny and I'm making fun of these quizzes, but I took them. I wanted to know what that cursive G said about my future. I wanted to know why my polka dot said I was going to have this kind of guy and this kind of career. You know, like, we do take those quizzes. Or, are you an introvert or an extrovert? And here's how to help your life get better. You know, we take those quizzes, and I remember the internet was just coming out as I was a kid. Yeah, I know. But, like, I only lived with my dad. You know, him and my mom were separated, so I'd kind of look around my shoulder, but my dad watching me do my little teenage quizzes or my little magazine quizzes. And you know, I hope he doesn't see this kind of embarrassing. Most embarrassing moments, if you have a zit popped in front of a guy or boogers fall out of your nose, this is going to happen. You're like, I don't want my dad to see this. And so I'd get to count all of my scores at the end, and I'd have like all A's, or I'd have 11. If you're between 10 and 15, then you're medium. You're good. You're not over excessive. You're not OCD, but you're not minimal either. You don't do, you know, you only do a little. So you're right there. You're right in the middle. You're right where you need to be. Good job. Good job. You're normal. Okay, what person is a normal? Like, what's the definition of normal, right? It truly depends on the person. You are who you are. We have a young lady in my class that's doing that speech. And it's so funny because I'd go back, because if I didn't like the result I got, I'd go back and change the answers. In fact, I want to marry that person. I'm going to mark A, A, B, B, A, and see if I can get that person. And I'd do it. And I would totally disagree with the answers. And I knew in my head what I agreed with and what was the right choice, but I would change my answers to get the results that I wanted. How often, I know it happens to you. I see some of you looking kind of guilty, okay? I know you change your answers, okay? And that's okay. That's okay to do those in quizzes and stuff. That's fun to do. But what about in real life? What do we do in real life? I'm going to tell you a bit about my testimony. How old was I? I was 16, 17, and I was online, and I don't talk to people I don't know, okay? But this guy came on ICQ. That was back in the day, Yahoo Messenger. Anybody know ICQ? Oh, I feel better. Okay, so ICQ, and this guy came on, and it's my husband right now, but I didn't know him, and I started chatting with him. Well, of course, my dad was overseeing everything I did, and I'm really glad that he did, because he gave him the FBI a third degree. Are you an axe murderer? Are you going to come to my daughter's house and kill her? You know, I'm saying that over dramatically, but that's what he did, and I'm really glad that he looked over Jason's, my husband's, profile and everything, because he was protecting me. He was looking for that guy's identity. And then his mom gave me the third degree, making sure I was who I said I was. And it's so important to be who you say you are, okay? I kept talking to this guy, and then I didn't date anybody in high school. Jesus was my boyfriend. I was known as the Jesus girl. Yeah, okay? I was voted that I was going to be a nun when I grew up. That's not bad. That's their life decision. But I didn't want to be a nun. Okay, I wanted to be a teacher. And at that point in my life, I wanted to be a teacher and a couple of other things as well, a doctor. And it turned into, oh, I really like this guy, and I prayed about it. And I said, okay, God, you know, if I feel peace about it, I'll start dating this guy. And I felt peace about it, and I felt really strongly. I didn't want to date the guy because that's who I gave my heart to. Because you need to guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. Because, girl, security is so important to us, right? Security, we want to be able to rely on something, lean on it, and know it's not going to fall on us when we really need it to. Okay? So I was talking to this guy, and he was awesome, and I felt peace about it. So we started dating. We were just talking to each other on the chat screen. And, well, one day he looked up my name, Amanda Joy Galyon. That's my maiden name. And he did it in the Google search. When Google was big and you typed in your name and you'd be like a famous athlete or superstar or something like that. Well, it came up to adoptionforums.com. And it had my name and it had everything, all my information there. And he messaged me and he said, hey, this looks like you, but you're not adopted. So where is this going? I was like, oh. That's probably just a joke, haha. And I showed my dad and I said, hey, Dad, look, it's just a joke. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to bed. So, poor thing, went to bed. I came up the next morning to school and I was telling my friends about it. And I just had this, you know, ladies, when you have that off the wall kind of feeling, like, I'm just not right about this. I was like, eh, it's fine. And I told my friend about it. She's like, I did it too. I looked it up, but you're kidnapped. And I thought, what? And she said, no, no, it's just you. You said you're kidnapped. It's just some other girl that they're looking for. And I said, oh, okay. Well, that must be what it is. Well, I came home that day and my mom had come over to visit. And, you know, something you can tell when something's off with your parent or your guardian. And it's just not something off. So I was typing and I said, hey, Mom, I want to show you this before you leave. And I showed her. I was like, ha ha. And she's like, yeah, you're adopted. Okay, I was a senior in high school when this happened. And I said, ha ha, you're funny. Said, no, really, you're adopted. And I went, oh, huh? Like, what are you talking about? So my sister came over and my brother came over. And I thought, okay, this is serious. And they sat me down and they talked to me. My biological mom was 16 when she had me. Her mom and dad died of alcoholism. They died vomiting in their own alcohol. And she was scared. She didn't have any security. So she tried to find security in love, the world's definition of love. So she had me and she didn't know what to do. So she wore a coat the entire summer. No wonder I don't like the heat. And she was trying to conceal her pregnancy. Well, ladies, you get kind of big when you're pregnant, so it's not going to last too long, right? So my sister was her best friend, and that's where my family now came into the picture. She asked my sister, my biological mom asked my sister to take over and be my parent. So my sister is not my mom. Her mom, my mom, making sense still, took over, and that's who I grew up with. I had no clue that I was adopted, okay? Had no clue. I did have kind of a hint when I was doing those Punnett squares in biology class. You know, those squares where you have to match up your genes? Yeah, my blood type didn't match with my parents, but I didn't care. For some reason, I was just like, I must have did it wrong. So, you know, that was my first hint. But I looked at her and I kind of went, okay, so this is for real, right? And, you know, poor thing, she's crying and this is a hard thing for her to do. And she says, I didn't want to tell you because I was so afraid that you wouldn't call me mom anymore. Mom, I would never not call you mom. You're my mom. And she's like, okay. And I said, but wait a second, I could have been a Mexican with a bad tan the whole time and not known about this thing. I mean, you could have told me a little bit earlier. Well, Well, when we got a divorce, we were going to tell you when we were 13, but then we separated, and then there's other things happening, and it just wasn't a good time in your life. And I said, because she was going to wait until after I graduated to tell me. Woo, bad idea. So I'm glad God kind of intervened and helped her be able to tell, because that had to take a lot of courage for her to tell me that. And I really respect the fact that she told me that, and it took so much courage for her to do that. And my dad, my poor dad, just sat in the corner and he didn't know what to say. He was kind of like, surprise. And they're so supportive. And, you know, for a week I was kind of in la la land. I thought, well, who am I really? You know, like, I thought I was this person for 16, 17 years. And then, you know, now I'm this person and I don't know who that is. And da 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 da. And identity crisis. Yeah, I was having one of those for a week. And then I realized it doesn't change who I am. It changes where I came from biologically, but it doesn't really change who I am, because I am defined by what I say is my definition of beauty, but what I say is my definition of wisdom, success, and love. Those are what define me, and I choose to put my definitions in the Bible, because that is what will help you. That is the truth. So if you take those definitions that I gave you and you use them to mold your life, to let God guide your life, and you use those definitions to help you make choices in your life, then you will be successful. You will have wisdom. You will know what love is. And you will be able to stand strong 50 years from now and say, no, I made mistakes, but I grew from them. I may have looked for love and other things and other places, but I knew what the definition of love is. And I knew what the definition of success and wisdom and beauty is. And I decided at that point, I'm going to take those definitions and I'm going to let them decide who I am. The true definitions are right there in your hands. If you take the world's definitions of love and wisdom and success and beauty, and you let the world tell you how to live your life, you're letting the world steal your identity. Because it may seem for a little bit, you're like, oh, I'm just going to spend a little bit of money here, and I'm just going to get a little boy crazy here. And I joke about that, but once you start on that path, you start taking a little bit more and a little bit more. And then you start going wrong. And then you're trying to find yourself like, who am I? I know I was this person, but then I made some wrong choices, but who am I now? And then by then, you feel like you're so far gone that you don't know how to get back to where you were. So you can get back. If you had made mistakes, if you do make mistakes, it's okay. You're going to. Just go back to those definitions and start making choices at that point where you made your mistake, and use those definitions to make new choices, because it's not too late. Because as young ladies, you have your entire life ahead of you. Who cares if you've made a mistake? Who cares if this is who you were before today? It doesn't matter. You decide to follow those definitions and you will be just fine. You will be able to stand secure when life throws things at you. And life will throw things at you, right? Life does it all the time. I wake up in the morning sometimes this past week. Ooh, it's been crazy. Life throws lots of stuff at you. You know, like, whoa. Yeah, you're like, oh, test here. Oh, drama. And then, oh no, whoo, moody person here. And whoo, not going there. You know, it's like life's constantly throwing things at you. And sometimes it can get so intense and so overwhelming. I told my husband the past week, is it okay if I just curl up in a ball and cry? Is that good with you? And he's like, no, I don't want you to do that. And I said, but I really want to. I really do. That would feel good to me right now. Because I really hate drama, but you're going to have it in life. Life is just dramatic, right? But I realized that if I could keep going every day this past week, no matter how crazy it's been, I wake up in the morning and I said, God, I really don't know what's going to be hurled at me this morning. I really don't. Even before I get up, sometimes the phone rings and I don't have a choice to say, hi, God. But I woke up and I said, you know what? I love you, God. We can do this together. You can be inside of me and I can take my choices and I can just one choice at a time, one moment at a time, make the right choice. And I can be who I want to be through you and through your strength, because we can't do it on our own. Girls, our security is so important to us. And I felt so invaded when that person took over my credit card. And it happens all the time. Our life is on Twitter and Facebook. I mean, there's just no privacy anymore, right? That's our life. It's everywhere. People are trying to get into us and trying to get into our private lives, whether we like it or not, with or without our permission. They're trying to get to us and get to our privacy and get to our credit card information and the very core of who we are. But we can stand strong no matter who's trying to figure that out. And we can use those definitions to stand strong and help us to be secure. So I'm going to be here for until 8:30 or so. So if you have any questions or thoughts or stories you want to share, if you think you're just random, that's fine. I don't care. I can be random too sometimes, all the time. So just share with me if you want to. I'll be right here. We're going to wrap up in prayer. Before we do so, do you have any questions that you'd like for other people to hear? Maybe they have the same question or thoughts that you've had to deal with. Aww. Yeah, you can share that. No problem. Aww, thank you very much. It took a long time, and I'm so not perfect. I tell my husband all the time, I'm such a beautiful mess. Do you love me? And he does. He does. And I'm so glad I waited for God to, hint, just before I wrap up. Wait for God. For the guy, wait for him. When I gave up searching, he sent him to me. He sent the most amazing guy to me. And all I had to do was say, okay, God, you are good enough for me. You are my God, and I will follow you. And not a week later, this Canadian comes knocking up on my ICQ. God just needed to know that he was enough for me. And that's so true, because when God's enough, then we can face the world. So wait. No searching, no quizzes. God knows who he has for you. And he'll give you the perfect guy. Mine's a 6'2" Canadian. So, anything else? Thank you for having me. I've been so excited to talk to you guys. I work at Harmony House as well, so I've been practicing my speech all day at Harmony House. It's such an honor to talk to you. Yeah, I may not know your name, and I may not know your age or who you are or where you came from, but I'm so honored to be able to talk to you. I really am. I'm honored to be able to talk to you. So let's wrap up in prayer. Can I put you on the spot? I'll give you the microphone. Can you pray? Okay. Do you want the microphone?